Hey, kids, are you looking for an exciting career in the world of broadcasting?
Uh-huh.
But afraid you don't have the skills or talent to make it?
Uh-uh.
Well, now you don't need either. At the Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting, we'll show you that going on the air is just as easy as breathing air. Just listen to what our founder has to say.
Because I don't hang out with what's her nuts.
And if you act right now, you'll also learn sound effects. And impressions.
Andy!
So what are you waiting for? Join us today and your broadcasting career will be over tomorrow. The Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting. Not associated with any real broadcasting school.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It's episode number 76, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's February the 17th, 2010.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A sheriff sees a cowboy walking down the street with nothing on but a cowboy hat, a gun, and boots. He arrests him for indecent exposure. The sheriff asks, "Why the hell are you walking around like this?" The cowboy says, "The pretty redhead asked me to go home with her. We go inside, she pulls off her skirt and asks me to pull off my pants, so I did. Then she pulls off her panties and asks me to pull off my shorts, and I did. Then she gets on the bed and she says, 'Now go to town, cowboy.' So here I am."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easter, my friends, son of Easter, and welcome. You've managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is episode number 76, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's February the 17th, 2010, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to welcome each and every one of you here to what is guaranteed to be a terrific show. We do have a great show for you today. We got, there's a ton of stuff that's been going on in the news. We heard about Tiger Woods. We got the Olympics. We got the thing going on with Kevin Smith. We got television, and we got Lost and Family Guy and Sarah Silverman stuck her foot in it. And all kinds of stuff and nonsense. Plus, we're going to be talking to our good friend Jason Nathanson from KNX down in Los Angeles. Jason went to the Oscar luncheon. We got a little bit of audio from that. Jason's going to be on the red carpet for the Oscars, as well as covering the Independent Film Spirit Awards. And so we'll be talking to Jason a little bit later. But right now, let's punch down some buttons and say, son of Easter to our good friend. He's back again. We love it when he comes down from Pleasanton. He is the impresario of Bunjo's Comedy Club, Mr. John DeColvin.
Son of Easter, Robin.
How are you, my friend?
I am great. I just want to make sure you meant Sarah Palin, right? Not Sarah Silverman?
No, Sarah Silverman.
Oh, really? What'd
Sarah Silverman.
Do?
She got involved in this whole retarded kind of thing. She was at the TED conference, and she stuck her foot in it. And anyhow, about half the people who were at the TED conference were like aghast, including the guy who invited her, who tweeted, "I'm actually sorry that we invited her there."
Did you see the Colbert clip?
No.
Oh, that was great. Did you see it?
No.
Give us a background.
Because she said something about, well, Rush used it in sarcasm.
Oh, this is the retarded comment.
The retarded, but yep. That Emmanuel didn't. And I'm not going to justify
you. Emmanuel Lewis?
Ralph Emanuel.
The designer.
No. The guy for Obama.
Oh, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel.
Okay.
So when Rush said it.
Emanuel Transmission, my Spanish auto mechanic.
When Rush said it,
folks.
She let him off the hook saying he did it as satire.
Yes.
So Colbert did this thing where he called her an effing retard and then said, but we all know it's in satire. You know, you really got to see it. It was great.
Okay.
It was great.
That's a strong lead, Johnny.
Yes.
And Sherry's going to be joining us, but she's not here yet. Parviz has a family matter, so he's not able to join us. But sitting in on Parviz's mic, you got some pretty big shoes to fill there, my friend. Back for return engagement is my very good friend and funny, funny son of a bitch, Jeff Moranis, son of Easter.
Hey, son of Easter. How's it going?
You're a crowd favorite. We're glad to have you back.
Hey, thanks for that.
All right, very good. And unlike Parviz, you're not overmodulating, so we'll have to crank you up. I'll have to mark these faders here at two different levels. Parviz was going to be joining us. We were going to actually have five of us in the studio today.
Oh, wow.
So I think we've done that once before. And in the wintertime, it's okay. In the summertime, it's not not such a good deal.
No. But I probably would have bowed out and gone and watched TV.
Or just called in from the other room?
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we could have done that.
That could work. And Sean is not going to be able to join us, but we've gotten some texts from Sean.
Good.
And we've spoken with our good friend Critical Chip, and so that we know that Sean has some medical stuff, but he's still out there, and we're sending him our love. So there you go. So that and more, but before we get going, let's talk about Mr. Kip Adana. And, of course, let's talk about Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney. You know, it's 4 years since the day that he shot Harry Whittington.
Today?
It's nice. Like 4 years. Yeah, Whitney?
Kiss my ass!
Kenneth?
Home network.
And,
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
And, of course... and...
Nonsense babber.
And...
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
And...
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
And she said that this is going to be the last year that she does the Barbara Walter Oscar special.
Baba Wawa?
Exactly. And of course,
she can't
wait, that's 31. Not right.
It's none of your business.
There you go.
It's Tiger.
We'll talk about him. Come on, what happened?
I'm Brian
Cox.
Oh,
you suck. We were doing so well there.
You know, a couple weeks ago you said every show you were going to explain one of those, and I think we missed last week.
Okay.
We left off with Harry Whittington.
All right.
We had a whole discussion.
You're going to make me go back, huh? All right, I'll stop. Okay, so the next one is...
Kiss my ass!
So that's Whitney Houston.
Right.
And the only reason that I'm aware of that particular one is because Joel McHale used to play it religiously on The Soup.
Okay.
And so it's her in some probably cokehead-fueled rage.
Oh, so it wasn't from a movie?
No, this is from a TV show or something like
that. Kiss my ass!
So there you go. This one...
Home networking.
So... Loyal listeners of Schnauzer Logic will know that back when I had Earthlink, we had a phone call into the studio one afternoon, just randomly. Oh, by the way, we should say that the show is going out live. We've now decided that on a weekly basis, we're going to be sending the show out live. And so you can call Schnauzer Logic at area code 408-335-4755. That's 408-335-4755. We'll come right into the studio. Also, you can listen to the show live. So if you go over to schnauzerlogic.com, you'll be able to see the links for listening to the show live. And we're trying our own little Ustream live stream today. So you'll be able to look into the studio. We're waving here now. It's a shitty little video kind of thing, but whatever. So we got video, we got audio, we got everything except listeners. So we're good to go. So anyhow, Kenneth, not Kenneth the Page, but
home networking
called, and he was trying to upsell me some better DSL service, and I was having all kinds of problems, and it was clear that he didn't really understand what he was talking about. So I don't think that's the right way to say it, but we just loved his pronunciation. And of course, then it became my obligation as a jerk to get him to say that as many times as possible. And so there we go.
You recorded the call.
I did, well, great. Because it was part of the show.
Right.
Yeah, right. So unlike today where I almost didn't record the show, I actually recorded the entire show. So let's see. Well, let's move through these all. So this one here.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
And that's only because I wanted to play Nonsense Babber. So those two need to go together. And it's actually a triple play because we have this one.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
We have this one. Nonsense Babber. And we have this. And that's Allie Waller, who is a comedian and a writer who is a Tina Fey's writer's assistant on Saturday Night Live, who is a guest on this show. And we were talking about bad comedy and how bad comedy has this kind of awful rhythm, this jokey rhythm. And so I said, well, what do you mean jokey rhythm? And she said, you know, like jokey rhythm, like... So that's what that's
Let me give you an example of that.
There you go. Is that a good start?
Yeah, except Samuel L. Jackson, that was from Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
English, motherfucker, do you speak
And the
it?
Next one is Parvis.
Nonsense Babber. And I don't really know what he was trying to
say
there.
Right, but that's for the... What I thought was interesting was when you were explaining how we were live a couple weeks ago. It's always interesting when someone who is in the studio is surprised about what happened on previous episodes.
I guess that would be me.
Or Jason, you actually have an excuse since you haven't been actually part of the show and have only been here twice. What I love is each week when we speak to Jason and we say, and you, generally it's either you or Parvis, because I've stopped asking. I would say, Jason, did you hear last week's show? And I go, no.
Right. Well, except last week, Parvis said to Jason, or 2 weeks ago, he said, what do you think about this and this? And then Jason said, listen to the show from 2 weeks ago.
Yes. Which he's not going to do.
Yeah, I am the most, and I don't want to... Hi, Sherry. Sherry walked in.
Hello.
Should we say hi?
Sona Vista.
Sona Vista.
Yeah, you look lovely.
Well, thank you.
This is your new non-Apple Real Work gig.
Yeah,
clothes,
it is.
Yeah?
Same clothes, yes? But must be a much different attitude.
Different togs. Okay, very nice.
I was just going to say, I don't know about Sherry, but I think I am the most loyal listener. And it's not just because I'm on the show. The second that thing comes into my iTunes, I'm on it.
God bless you. Thank you.
It's my therapy.
Okay. It's only slightly less creepy than talking to a tape recorder and then listening it to yourself later on, right? I mean, because it's basically what you're doing. It's a very big, expensive, fancy, complicated tape recorder, but you're effectively talking to a tape recorder.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter, though, even if I'm not on the show.
You still listen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, then I love you. Okay, yeah, well, then that's fine.
Even more so.
All right.
Well, now I feel really guilty for not listening to the episode that I missed. Because I don't normally... I mean, sometimes I listen to them, but certainly the ones that I miss, I usually catch up.
But yeah, but you've been here. There's no need.
Right, but there was 2 weeks or 2 weeks ago or whatever. I wasn't here.
Right.
I was skiing and...
Except I think they're funnier when you listen to them again.
They are.
When you get out of the studio and just listen to it.
Especially because you hear things that you missed because you're paying attention to stuff going on in your own head. I know when I'm sitting here... In addition to pushing buttons and looking at stuff, I'm thinking about the next funny thing that I want to say, right? I'm ready to take my shot. And so when I miss things that are going on in the background that are really funny. Plus, what I have found from doing radio is the only way to really get better is to listen to yourself and find those moments in your own performance where you go, oh, that sucked. And then you go, great, I won't do that again. Not that I'm giving you any... I mean, not that you need to worry about it.
She wasn't looking at me when she said that, was she?
Not that you need to worry about this.
But I do remember when Jason was first starting out, there was a lot of ums and ahs. And
there's none of that now.
And there's none of that now.
That's right.
He's a pro.
Yes.
And in fact, he is.
He's also on the air all the time.
Yes.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We'll take our first break. We've got a little bit of tunage here today. I think we'll go into the break with... So because there are people who have not been listening, as I mentioned, it was 4 years. I don't think it was 4 years ago today, but it was 4 years ago that Dick Cheney shot a man in the face. And we did a little bit of we did a little bit for that, and so we'll play that that little parody. We'll play a little tunage, and we'll come back on the other side, and hopefully have Jason on the phone with us. How does that sound?
Right on.
All right, there you go. Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm having a great time.
Jump in anytime.
All right.
You know, there's no pressure on you.
I didn't know I could do that before, but now that you've said it,
anytime you can jump in anytime. The problem is I'm not looking directly at you all the time.
This seat kind of blows.
Well, Robin trained herself not to look
because
in that direction because Parvis
usually
is usually there.
Yeah, because I don't need to look at Parvis in order to cue him to talk. And we hope everything is okay with Parviz and his family today, and that he'll be back next week. All right, so we'll take this break, play a little Dick Cheney stuff, and then we'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, John DeCoven, Sherry Stevens, Jeff Moranis, we're all here, and we're all inviting you to please stick around.
Sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Almost 2 weeks after Vice President Dick Cheney shot a man in the face, many questions still remain. So Schnauzer Logic sent reporter Goody Dickman to try to get answers. Scott McClellan, your White House press secretary, do you know what happened the day of the shooting?
No.
Well then, do you know how the vice president is holding up?
No.
Well, what do you know?
Don't know nothing about nothing at all.
Let's see if we can track down the president. Perhaps he can help. President Bush, how did you find out about the shooting?
Oh, I heard through the grapevine.
And what were your first thoughts when you heard what happened?
Psycho killer.
We understand that through it all, you remain quite fond of the vice president.
Know him. He's too love him.
And have you been in contact with Vice President Richard Cheney since the shooting?
The last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68.
Thank you for your time. We next sought out the victim, Harry Whittington. Mr. Whittington, what went through your mind when you realized the vice president was taking aim?
Cheney got a gun.
And what did every instinct tell you to do?
Run, baby.
Thank you for your time. We hope you continue to get better. Finally, in search of the real story, we interviewed the vice president himself. Mr. Vice President, what did you think when you realized you had shot Mr. Whittington?
Again,
we thought this was the first time. Many have said that you were drinking. Your office says you only drink on special occasions. How often do you throw one back? And what did you have to drink on the day of the shooting?
One bourbon, one scotch.
Vice President Cheney, some have suggested that you're the victim in this incident.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
Do you think this accident will cause you to give up hunting?
Happiness is a warm gun.
Well, Mr. Vice President, we hope you'll be at least more careful when drinking and hunting. And now you know what you didn't know when you didn't know what you knew. For Schnauzer Logic, this is Goody Dickman returning you to our studios where our program is already in progress.
www.schnauzerlogic.com.
All right, guys. Time for the best go. Not even thing I say. Be the fine one, what's going on? Hey, did you see the light as they fell all around? Serenade from the star. Burn it up now. Wake up.
Welcome back. We're 22 minutes into this 76th episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We're also got a phone number into the studio or leave voicemail messages during the week. It's area code 408-335-4755. We're over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic. That's where you'll be able to find tweets when we do the show. We're doing the show today live on Ustream, which is www.ustream.tv/channel/schnauzerlogic. And we're also streaming the audio of the program live on the internets. Everything is over in the Schnauzer Logic webpage, so you'll be able to hear all of that. Let's say welcome back, Sona Vista, to John DeCoven.
Sona Vista.
And welcome back, and Sona Vista, to Sherry Stevens.
Sona Vista.
And welcome back, and Sona Vista, to our good friend Jeff Moranis.
I know who you are.
I loved how the coffee went through your nose during the...
I have to learn not to drink during the start of a bit.
Was it the Dick Cheney bit, or was it the...
It was the psycho killer.
It was the psycho killer. That did it to you.
I was not expecting that. So I got that wasabi nose burn from the tea.
I used to do a lot of audio... In fact, I did a little audio production for today's show. Not very much, just a little bit. We're going to sneak it in later in the show. But right now, we got to get to this guy because... it's pretty much his bedtime, being that it's about 4:36 here. Oop, sorry.
Bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and
the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels
and
the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
If he ever gets any kind of transplant, we'd have to change the. That's how you could stop us from playing that. You could just get, I guess, a rug, but you could just get. They don't do transplants anymore. What do they do then now?
They like. Who says I want to stop?
They do the plugs.
But they don't call them plugs, do they? Plugs are cheap. Like, what are the really good ways? Like, what's the really good?
A hair system.
A hair system. A hair system. Now, have you looked into a hair system?
I have not, no. Okay. I'm fine with my baldness.
Well, it's a sign of testosterone. It's a sign of virility, right? I mean, I understand that.
Is that really true?
Oh, yeah.
I'm making babies all over the place. So
well, somebody has to. Sona Vista, Jason Nathanson, KNX's own Jason Nathanson. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific. Did you have a nice Valentine's Day?
Sure. I played golf.
Okay.
And that was pretty much my Valentine's Day.
Before we get started, Jason, did you hear last week's episode?
I did not. It wasn't one that last week.
Well, yes, we understand that.
Okay.
But I was mentioning that you're not a regular listener to the show.
I'm not.
That's all right. I'm okay with that.
I'm busted.
I'm okay with that. I was bummed out by the last show that we did, and I wrote about it on the blog, and I felt better about it, and so there you go.
What was wrong with it?
There was nothing wrong with it. The thing was, and I, as a performer, not necessarily a very good or professional performer, but a performer nonetheless, before I do any show, whether it's stand-up or this radio show or any kind of visual design or whatever it is, I have in my mind an image of how it's supposed to turn out. And irrespective of how good the final product is, I only measure the quality as compared to what I thought it was going to be when I started. So if I'm a fucking, you know, artist, and I sit down with a canvas and I want to paint a picture of a flower, and I wind up painting the Mona Lisa, I'm really pissed. Because I expected to paint a flower, and instead I have this woman. And so that's my own bullshit. That's not, doesn't make any sense.
Do you go back and listen to the shows?
I do. I listen to every show multiple times, and they make me laugh. And that's why when I wrote the blog, I said, so the reason I'm writing this on the blog is because there are other people out there who have my insanity sickness, and I let them know that you can't base your value of what you create on your own experience. You have to let other people kind of give you feedback, right? How you perceive it.
But people aren't honest. They're going to tell you you did a good job in most cases, whether you did or not.
Yay!
Well, actually, no, because people, if you want to relate it to stand-up,
okay,
people don't have to come up to you afterwards and say, oh, I really enjoyed you, or you were the best, or
right.
You know, whatever.
Right.
And so I have kind of a weird thing, too. Now, I'm not obviously like you saying I'm the greatest or the worst or whatever, but if I have a really good set and someone comes up to me afterwards to compliment me, I get embarrassed.
Okay.
But also,
like, I don't like the compliment.
In
which
stand-up,
makes
though,
no
you,
sense.
You also have instant feedback in a way that you don't in a lot of things. I mean, you know if you're doing well or if you're not, because you know if the audience is with you or not.
This is true.
True.
So, this is true.
Know,
this is true.
We don't get feedback except when I make Robin laugh, then I'm happy. When I hear that high-pitched laugh, I love that.
Thank you. All right. So, we're in the thick of the Oscar season at this point.
Yeah.
And if you've been reading the newspapers, so you realize that they had the Oscar Award nominees luncheon, which is a big deal. I know that in the past, I think Tom Hanks has been the speaker, and he kind of tells people how to give a speech and all of those kinds of things. You actually got to attend the luncheon this year?
Well, I got to attend the press part of the luncheon.
Oh.
They have a red carpet, and only photographers are allowed to.
They have a red carpet for the luncheon.
Quote of the day.
Anytime you have a bunch of stars walk in anywhere, there's a red carpet. It automatically appears in front of them. So
okay.
There's a red carpet. They took pictures, but the audio and video media were not allowed on the red carpet to ask questions. Then whoever wanted to could come to the media room before the lunch and address us if. You know,
what are they wearing on the red carpet during the day?
You know, there's a whole mix of things. Sandra Bullock was wearing, you know, kind of a tailored suit dress thing. Gabby Sidibe from Precious, she was wearing a nice
dress. Based on the novel Pushed by Sapphire.
And, you know, Jeff Bridges was kind of dressed down. I mean, you know, they're not wearing tuxes or anything like that.
I have to interrupt you just for a second. I know that you're not a fan of Andy Borowitz the way that I am, but he had a wonderful tweet last week. He said, now every time I pick up my daughter and I look at her and I say, oh, you're so precious, I feel obligated to say, based on the novel Pushed by Sapphire. So I'm not the only one that thinks that it's absurd.
That's good. That's good. So they come back and, you know, they ask questions, and it's nice. It's a little more intimate than a lot of the press gaggles that you have for the, especially the Oscars backstage itself, where there's, you know, 200 media from all over the world in this big cavernous room. This is a lot more intimate setting, about, I don't know, maybe 50 or 60 journalists from Variety and Parade magazine and, you know, the different People magazine and things like that.
Sure.
So, It was fun, and you get to be a little closer to them. This is my first Oscar lunch, so and I'm still on the red carpet. You know, it's just me and whoever happens to be lucky enough to come over and talk to me. So
you were wearing your Hootistank T-shirt, or
yes. But on the red carpet setting, it's different because I don't have to. I don't know, impress other journalists because they're not paying attention to what I'm doing. In a setting like this, I kind of get a little intimidated because I'm still new to this, so I don't like to ask questions because I feel like, oh, I'm going to ask a question that's been asked 50 times or I'm going to make an ass out of myself. But I kind of wish I did ask questions because most of the questions are so stupid. I mean, these people get, you know, there's 5 or 6 questions get to be asked of them, and is always it's, oh, how did you feel to win? And you know, describe to me the method as you went through the character. One, I don't know who she was from, so I'm not going to embarrass her too much, but one girl asked Woody Harrelson, who was in two movies this year of note, The Zombieland and The Messenger,
right?
different roles. One's a zombie camp flick. The other is The Messenger, where he's telling people, families, about soldiers who died in the war. He has to go notify them. So she asks, what did you use did you use anything inside of you to prepare for both roles? Was anything the same in your preparation for the role? And it's like, one's a zombie flick where it couldn't be less real, and the other one's about, you know, telling people that soldiers had died. I mean, come on. And even he looked at her, he's like, really? That's your question?
But, I mean, you can prepare for this, right? I mean, it's not like you don't know that you're actually going to be doing this until the moment. Like, they don't keep you in a room someplace with
a bag of... Absolutely.
So you can prepare all of the... You can prepare really cool questions. You can talk them through. You can write them on your hand.
Absolutely. That almost flew right by me.
That's all right.
But, you know, you don't know who's going to be there. And the jostling to ask questions is such that I'm not into it right now to really try to get into that. It doesn't matter to me, because in the end, I'm not going to ask anything that's so amazing of these people. I'll prepare more for the red carpet.
Sandra Bullock, was your character a vegetarian? That's a good random question. Everybody will stop and look. And that's fine. You could be the stuttering John of KNX.
Well, absolutely. Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. I don't want to embarrass KNX, so it's better just to keep quiet. But, you know, when it comes down to it, the feeling I'm getting more and more as I do these things is, there's so much adoration paid on these people, and, you know, they're important, I guess, in our culture, but they're actors, you know? They don't do anything that's all that special or cool.
So, damn you. Shame on you for saying something like that.
So, you know, it's kind of like all these people are asking these fawning questions, and I just want to, you know, I want to...
So why don't you let a little of the random show leak out?
Because again, I work for KNX, which is a CBS station, and I don't want to do anything that would, you know, put the station's reputation at harm. So,
in other words, he doesn't want to lose his job.
That's what I'm getting from this.
No, I actually don't. I'm not afraid of losing my job,
but not for something stupid.
Yeah, but I am entrusted with some kind of, you know. Ooh. Something. So I want to respect that.
That's a sound clip.
Remember, he's got a golden mic or a Buckeye Beaver Award.
I have several golden mics for covering events such as these.
But what does the award look like? Is it in fact a golden mic?
Yes. I'm looking at it. It's right in front of me. It's got a kind of bulbous globe thing on the bottom.
Jason won a South Bay Newscaster Award for his coverage for KNX. Jeff Maness is in the studio and he's looking quizzical. So at Sherry, so I'm filling him in
because
I'm guessing
there
may be also
to the podcast.
There may also be audience members that don't listen to the podcast either. So
here, I will take a picture of it right now and I will SMS it to you.
Oh, very cool. Not useful, but very cool.
No,
nonetheless.
You can have Voyana put it up there.
Oh, that's true. That's true. All right, good. So you sent me a couple pieces of audio, which we should probably listen to, and then we can take a break and talk about some more stuff. So
sure. So I did the Golden Mike or the Oscar luncheon things in two bits. I did the women and the men.
Okay.
And some of the women that we saw were Gabby Sidibe and Sandra Bullock. And most of the Best Actress nominees did come back and talk to us. Most of the Best Actor nominees did not.
Okay. So, is there alcohol involved here?
Not at this point.
All right.
Not yet.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You know, now that high-definition television is certainly more pervasive than it was, let's say, 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you can see that people that looked really good under, you know, well-lit, carefully made-up situations, when you get kind of close to them, they're not always, you know, the film stars that you think that they are.
Sure.
Do you find that, you know, when people go to the, I mean, are there people that you've seen, and I'm not going to ask you to give me any names, but I mean, are there people that you've seen when you go, wow, that's, you know, like it takes a lot of work to get you to the point where, you know, you are who you are?
Yeah, I said it last time, Jodie Foster.
Well, I don't listen to my show either, so.
Right after the Golden Globes. I saw her right before the Golden Globes. She walked in. She had no makeup on. She was wearing sweats. And, you know, she didn't really look... She didn't look bad, but she didn't
but I'm,
look...
Yeah, but I mean, are there people that, yeah, like, you look at their skin and you go, wow, like, how the fuck did you become, like, a famous actor or actress?
There's nobody I've noticed, really. I mean, you know, Mickey Rourke, but he looks weird, you know, in person or on the screen anyway. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in person, it's even far more bizarre.
Is he really more bizarre?
Oh, yeah.
Like Captain Lou Albano bizarre?
Yeah, it's like silly putty on his face and somebody like pushes
nicely
it in different
done.
Directions.
Thank you.
That's excellent.
That was a pretty good riff there.
It is.
Yeah, I think did he pass last year, Captain Lou?
Yes. Last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. But
it's
still,
not kind of sad.
Obviously,
it is sad.
I still hold
it's
him
the
in
end
my
of
heart.
The life.
Still hold him in my heart. All right, so which one should we play here first?
Play the women first.
We'll play the women first. All right, so this is the Ladies Who Lunch at the Oscar nomination. Was there a speaker? Oh, you don't know if there was a speaker because they didn't let you inside.
The head of the Academy spoke, apparently, and he gave them the tips.
Okay.
And apparently they do a lot of telling people to keep it short. And they tell them to practice with a timer for 45 seconds.
Not only do they tell them to keep them short, but this is something I'm going to say that they're now actually told this year that they want them to prepare two speeches for Oscar night. I don't know if you've heard about this. Academy Award organizers come up with a novel idea for avoiding those boring speeches filled with just thank yous. The solution, have the winners give two speeches. Contenders for the top films, typically the advice is to keep them short and avoid a long list of thank yous. This year, they're telling them that they should prepare two speeches, one on stage, telling the audience what winning an Oscar means to them, and a second backstage for the thank you cam, where the winners can say thanks to whoever they want.
That'll be fun to watch.
Well, so that's for all of the agents and the agents' assistants and people like that that they feel. Now, do you not know about this? Do you know about this Oscar cam backstage?
I hadn't heard. This is the first time hearing about.
Oh,
it,
well, we're breaking news here.
Yes, absolutely. Get the breaking news sounder.
All right. Yes, we do have a breaking news sounder, but that's actually a message on my phone. Let's play this a bit here on KNX. This is Jason Nathanson, KNX.
Hey, ladies!
It was the Ladies Who Lunched. Sure, the guys were there too, but they didn't command the press room. Like Best Actress nominee Gabby Sidibe, nominated for her role in Precious.
Oh, you.
Listen, I'm gonna
stand when you clap for me. I'm kidding.
So who was she excited about meeting?
Steve Martin. My mom has a crush on Steve Martin, and we used to watch The Jerk pretty much every day. And so I'm really excited that this show will be hosted by Jack Donaghy and The Jerk. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Walking up to the mic to face the press firing squad, Best Actress nominee Sandra Bullock was a little intimidated.
Now you know what the president feels like. This is it's daunting. I'll be answering questions about our economy and what's going on overseas.
And Vera Farmiga, nominated for her role as George Clooney's bed buddy in Up in the Air, she had some travel tips for going through security.
I'm the person you don't want to get behind at the moment. I have baby carriage and full baby regalia, and you should look out for families with babies and strollers.
But the best advice came from hot young starlet Carrie Mulligan, Best Actress nominee for An Education.
Don't drink at award ceremonies. I did that at the Independent Film Awards in London, and I was hammered when I stood up, and I didn't think I was going to win, so I was like, whatever. And then I got up there, and it was lucky I kept it very short and got off the stage. But so since then, I've been very well behaved.
In Beverly Hills, Jason Nathanson, KNX 1070 News Radio.
Wow.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice.
Like being there.
Gabby Sidibe really impressed me, I gotta say.
In what way?
Well, I mean, if you've seen Precious, I am convinced now 100% that
Kevin Smith kind of way? Or?
No. That she should win Best Actress, hands down.
Really?
Because, I mean, if anybody... I mean, you look at somebody like George Clooney who's up for Best Actor, and you look at him in Up in the Air, and you're like, okay, that's George Clooney playing George Clooney again.
Yes.
Gabby Sidibe in this role, I mean, she talks like a white girl from the valley. That was the line Lee Daniels, her director who cast her, that's what he used. He said when he brought her in to have her do the reading, you know, she read the role as Precious, and then she stopped talking, and he was amazed that she was this girl. I mean, her transformation is so complete in this movie. She embodies the character so well that, I mean, she is the one who did the best job and really took her. You don't know who she is.
So you're saying she's very articulate?
She's extremely articulate. Yeah, 100%, and funny and charming and, you know,
that was
smiling and very confident.
Nobody got it.
Sorry, John's doing the John DeCoven show here.
And, all on his own.
Well, no, nobody, because whenever you say a black person doesn't talk black, they're articulate.
I see. Okay.
I was trying not to be racist.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, but nicely done.
Thank you.
John DeCoven, based on the novel Mein Kampf by Hitler. Oh, great. I got one out of you. Thanks. Should we do the men and then we'll take a break?
Sure.
All right. So what do we need to know to set this clip up?
These are the men.
I understand. I understand you brought a clip.
these are some of the men nominated.
They have penile eye and Y chromosome. All right. Here we go.
This is a man's world.
If you're looking for advice, don't ask Colin Firth.
I don't think anyone should ever ask actors advice on anything. If you just have a look at the way they conduct their lives, you know?
The best actor nominee for a single man doesn't even know how he feels about the honor.
Since people even start talking about this, you're constantly on a plane, talking yourself into circles, so that actually you don't process anything. So I'm sure I'm ecstatic.
But best supporting actor nominee Woody Harrelson has a pretty good idea of what his chances are.
Well, I suppose there'd be jitters if I thought I was going to win, but seeing as how I'm certain that I won't, somebody's going to have an accent when they accept, but it ain't going to be a Southern accent, I don't think.
He's talking about fellow nominee Christoph Waltz, the sadistic Nazi from Inglourious Basterds, who's fluent in French, German, and English.
It comes in handy when you travel. It comes in handy when you're, you know, trying to seduce someone.
And when a few of the A-list directors next door to us got a little loud, he showed us some method acting.
Would you mind if I yelled and asked that? Directors, could you please keep it down? Thank you.
And Jeff Bridges may be nominated for Best Actor for his role in Crazy Heart, but to most of us, he'll always be the dude.
You know, when they said there was going to be a nominee lunch, and I thought it was going to be just a small table with the guys, and, you know, we could hang out. You'd think as long as I've been doing it, I'd be more prepared for this, but every time I walked that red carpet and those lights, it seems to get more and more... crazy.
In Beverly Hills, Jason Nathanson, KNX 1070 News Radio.
Jeff Bridges is great. You just want to put up a laser pointer on a wall and watch him chase it all day. He's just a happy, happy guy.
I know, but I got to tell you, when the German guy yelled, I peed my pants a little bit.
Isn't it?
Whenever a German yells, that's like, oh, man,
I would go over to my grandmother's house. She was German, and she would just talk to me, and I would think somebody was going to put me in the oven. I mean, when German, it's impossible not to think of Germans as Nazis.
Your grandma was Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I
just want to point out, I have a lot of trouble with one of the lines that I put in there when I called him a sadistic Nazi as opposed to the feel-good Nazi. I mean, is there any other kind of Nazi than sadistic?
Well, there are wacky Nazis from Hogan's Heroes. Right?
Sure.
I know I just blew up your bit by saying that.
You did. Robin Goldstein, bit killer.
Well, I'm on fire today. All right. Now, do you know about the Kevin Smith story?
I do.
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about it because you're in the news media. And,
yes. And we tried all Monday to get him. I'll tell you about that.
I know you did. I've seen your tweets, but I'm gonna call you to task and ask you to defend the entire profession.
Please
do. That you're sort of the very tip of. In the reporting of this most important story. Okay. All right. So we'll take a break here, and we'll play a little more tunage, and we'll come back on the other side. We are sitting here. We've got Jason Nathanson of KNX on the phone with us. We got John DeCoven in the studio. We got Sherry Stevens in the studio. And we've got Jeff Moranis in the studio. That's nice. Thanks. Thanks for doing that. I'm going to start with you first next time.
Okay.
Feel free to jump in.
I'm getting the hang of it.
You're getting in there? It's okay.
Getting a little bit.
It's just because I'm not looking at you.
It's
not
the seat.
It is the seat. The seat's
it's
a big thing.
It's tough doing this from the driveway.
I can.
If I get a little closer to the rest of
well,
you.
Well, you can move over. I mean, Sherry can move over. You can move into my eye line. There's plenty of space. There's
that's good.
We almost had five of us in the room today. I have an extra pair of headphones because Parviz was going to join us, and so I was going to move you a little bit further around. I was going to move you two in the corner and move Parviz over here because I don't need to see him. I know that he's there.
He fills the room
no
matter where he is.
I feel his presence. Exactly. We've all become much more amped in the last 76 shows, by the way. I've listened to the early shows again, and while they're not as well produced, we're much calmer. We're much lower key. We're much calmer. Something happened along the way where now these shows, they start at 1,000 volts and they just go up from there. So, all right, you can hang with us, yes?
Yes.
All right, good. We'll take a break. We'll be back on this side. You know who we are, and we know who you are, and it's scary for everyone involved, so stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Yay, auto-tune! Now you know what a tune is, jump the shark, because I'm using it. Welcome back. We are 51 minutes into this first hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Jeff Moran, Sherry Stevens, John DeCoven, Parviz Fatality is not with us, but we got Jason on the phone. And Sean Meehan is not with us, I mentioned at the beginning of the show. We got some texts from Sean. So Sean apparently does have some issues with the kidneys. Apparently he's got a kidney stone that's causing some issues, which we understand because he has a, like I do, he has a compromised kidney. But we heard from Critical Chip, and there are texts going back and forth. And so he's still among the living, and we're all sending him thoughts and prayers. And if you want to do the same, I know that he would appreciate that. And there you go, a little auto-tune magic. What do you think, Dr. J?
That was amazing. That's a Grammy winner right there. The best podcast comeback intro theme.
Is there a Golden Podcast Award?
There should
there
be.
There actually is.
There, yeah. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if it's a golden.
Well, could you make it any less exciting?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
All right. Do you want to? By the way, do you want to plug the Buncho's comedy major mega thing that's coming up soon?
I think
right?
You just did.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can do it better than that.
March 5th is the start of the Killer Laughs comedy competition.
What day of the week is it?
17 weeks.
Friday.
Every Friday.
All right.
It's the Independent Spirit Awards tonight.
From March 5th through.
Did you say it was 17 weeks?
17 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. There's eight preliminary
rounds. I wonder pitchers and catchers report for. I mean, really? I mean,
well, there's six. There's
it's a season.
There's 80 comedians.
Yeah.
There's
how many funny ones?
Probably two.
Okay.
And eight prelim rounds, four quarterfinals, two semis, and a final. That adds up to 17.
It does?
Doesn't it?
I don't know.
Wait.
I don't know.
Eight and four is
me and
12.
Math, not so good.
Oh, 15. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
15
oh, that's much, okay. That's much better. All right. Jason, you going to come up for any of those?
Killer Laughs Comedy. KillerLaughsCompetition.com.
KillerLaughsCompetition.com.
Exactly.
And then people can follow you on your Twitter stream?
They could.
Which
but,
is?
Bunjo's Comedy.
All right. Very good. Just want to get all the plugs out of the way.
I don't Twitter. I mean, I Facebook, and it just goes to Twitter.
Right.
I mean, I don't even look at Twitter.
Well, that's fine. So people follow you on Twitter, then they can follow you back to Facebook.
Sure.
Or Facebook.
I smell a segue.
Thank you. Speaking of Twitter. So,
yeah.
All right. So do you know the story of Kevin Smith? Have you been following me?
I don't.
You don't. Okay.
Do
and
not.
you were not aware.
The biblical tale of Kevin Smith.
All right. Do you feel like giving? Well, let me give the background because I actually.
Extra large edition.
Well, so here's. So I've actually read all the tweets and watched all the videos.
The
right.
Smodcast.
I not only the Smodcast, but also the supplemental videos that he's published, as well as the new Smodcast with the girl who was sitting on the other side of the aisle that also got taken off the plane.
When did this happen?
On Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, okay.
On Valentine's Day. So, and have you've seen all of that stuff?
I saw a little bit of the Smodcast.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's enough to form an opinion. So Kevin Smith, the director, best known for probably Clerks, probably best known for Clerks, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back,
Clerks 2,
Geely, and the new
Bruce Willis movie Cop Out,
the new Cop Out film
in Daredevil comics. He did some writing.
Yes, he did. And Cop Out was originally supposed to be called. Do you remember?
Me? No.
Yeah, it's supposed to be called A Couple of Dicks.
Really?
Yeah, and what's interesting, it's clear that the studio doesn't want to have a whole lot to do with him because not only did they change the name, because Zach and Miri made a porno, remember there was all of that bullshit about the name and the poster and all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but like, you don't even see his name attached to this film anymore. Like,
right.
If you wouldn't know that this is a Kevin Smith joint, you know, if you didn't know, if you weren't a Kevin Smith fan.
True. And you wouldn't think this would be the kind of movie he would direct anyway.
No, although he's worked with Tracy Jordan before. Tracy
Morgan.
Morgan. He's worked with Tracy Morgan before, right?
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I thought that was Chris Rock.
Chris Rock is the director.
Rock and Dogma.
Yes, and he's also the director. He plays the director of the Jane Silent Bob movie within the movie of Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. But when Jane Silent Bob show up in Los Angeles, they're walking down the street. They're walking down the street, and they come across these two drug-dealing crackheads who know Jay, and one of them is Tracy Morgan.
Excellent.
And he gives him a hug, and he goes, "I don't know what you're saying, my man, but I sure do love you," you know, kind of thing. So that was my non-racist impression.
And so that's Kevin Smith.
So Kevin Smith is Silent Bob, the fat guy. And at least as I understand the story, you told me he was up in San Francisco for the bear.
Yeah, put it on me, for the bear thing.
Because you remembered that, okay. Right? So he,
what
for the bear
thing?
There's a, you know, a bear.
It was a bear convention.
Or something that he was speaking at.
Bears are gay men, very large, friendly, and then they're cubs. So you have bears and you have cubs.
And then you have tweens and twinks.
What'd you say?
There was a convention.
Of course, there was a convention.
Wait. Are you talking about bears as in gay guys?
Yes.
But is he gay?
No. he's got a big following.
Oh, but he's gay friendly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, John's not.
Have we rocked your world?
No. I've never heard of a bear convention.
You've heard of furry conventions?
No.
Okay.
Right. Well, then you're not getting the right mailing list.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah,
thank God.
All right. Well, thank God.
No,
wait a second.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. You just made it a little uncomfortable for me. That's all. Just want to say. So he was. Yeah. So I guess he was a speaker at the bear convention, and of course he was in San Francisco like earlier in the week because he was the. Was he the keynote speaker for Macworld this year? He was one of the speakers at Macworld this
Macworld.
Year.
Macworld.
Everybody missed Macworld
exactly.
Except me, but. But I think he was like the keynote speaker, one of the keynote speakers at Macworld this year. So he flew back and forth from Southwest, and he finished this bear convention thing. He went out, he flies out of Oakland, from Oakland to Burbank on Southwest, and he buys two tickets on a regular basis. He claims that he buys two tickets because mostly he wants the comfort and he doesn't want to be sitting next to people because there is no first class on Southwest. And so he doesn't want to be sitting next to anybody. So he buys a couple of seats. He has been vehement that he doesn't need to buy two seats, that he can fit into a single seat, that the armrest will go down. He can wear a single seatbelt without an extender and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But when he got to the airport, he tried to get on an earlier flight. And I think that the gate agent basically was like, she was hassled by him. She was hassled in general. And so when he said, "Listen, can I get an earlier flight?" She was like, "Well, there's only one seat." And he goes, "That's fine. Like, I know I have two seats, but I'll just turn that other ticket in. That's okay. I don't really care about the other seat." And she was like, "Well, but there are safety concerns." So she was trying to tell him that there was going to be an issue if he flew that plane. She had decided, I mean, that's how I've heard this, that she basically decided that he was too fat to fly in a single seat. But he didn't pick up on that. And so he actually boarded the flight and he sat down and they took him off the flight. They came over and they took him off the flight, which I mean is could be as embarrassing.
That's gotta suck.
Yeah, massively suck.
Now, so, was he able to get the seatbelt around him, or did they not even get there yet?
They didn't even give him a chance.
Okay.
But he says on the next flight he was able to get the seatbelt on without the extender.
Yeah, of course. And that he was able to put the armrests down. In fact, Southwest says that it's the armrests that determine whether or not you're kind of spilling over into the space of the people next to you. And listen, he's a big guy, but I mean, he's not Jabba the Hutt.
I mean, I'm probably bigger than him, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised because I didn't think he was that big where this would be some kind of issue. But.
No. And so it points out so he then, of course, being, he's got, what, 1.6 million Twitter followers?
Oh, that reminds me.
And so, Bunjo's making him out there. And so he started tweeting in real time what was going on with him. And it's interesting because from a media point of view, you basically have someone acting as their own on-the-spot reporter, including like sending a photograph of himself. Like when he got on the second flight, he then took a picture of himself with his iPhone. It was like, they puffed his cheeks out, you know, it was like, "See, I can fit in the plane," you know what I mean? So, I mean, he's such a director, he gets to editorialize on this whole thing. And I think what he was looking for was mostly an apology from Southwest that, like, listen, we screwed up and we should have really, you know, we shouldn't have taken you off the plane. It was not a big deal. Nobody had complained. You were able to meet all of the qualifications. But instead, Southwest went into corporate lockdown mode. So they started using corporate speak. Well, you know, it's part of the safety of the other path. You know, like, nobody would take any individual responsibility. You get into this corporate responsibility, which, going back to 2 weeks ago, is why I'm not a fan of corporations being able to spend unlimited amounts of money on campaigns for or against particular political issues, because they are nameless and they are faceless. And whereas an individual might not be able to say to Kevin Smith, I think you're too fat, operating under the imprimatur of a corporate policy, people will do really kind of horrible things. So that was the story, but that's not necessarily how it got reported, which is how we turned to Jason Nathanson of KNX News Radio 1080.
1070.
Whatever.
Yeah, so, do you have a question for me?
So, did you guys report it that way? Or? There you go. You've earned your pay today. So how did you guys report it?
I mean, that's pretty much how we did. I went through on Sunday night into Monday morning. Kevin Smith was up tweeting the whole time. When I got into work at 1:30, he was tweeting and then continued to tweet through, you know, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. So he was up the whole time tweeting. So I was constantly going through, monitoring that. We called Southwest. Southwest had a statement up on their website. You know, we went through everything. We went through the Smodcast where he talked about what happened to him. I sent a reporter to Burbank, and they talked to people at Burbank about, you know, their experiences and if they thought, you know, Southwest was wrong, Kevin Smith was wrong. Tried to get comment from Southwest, couldn't get anything from Southwest, and, of course, tried to get comment from Kevin Smith, and we weren't able to. I did send him a tweet asking him if he would talk to us. I'm far from the only one. I saw Good Morning America did as well. Harvey Levin from TMZ did as well.
Larry King.
Larry King did too.
Yeah, yeah. He almost went on Larry King.
Bill O'Reilly.
I haven't seen him go on anywhere, has he?
No, he hasn't been on anywhere. He's decided, and it's funny, you know, I mean, listen, I struggle with my weight too. I don't think I'm at risk of being taken off of a flight for not buying an extra seat. Big.
I mean, I fly south. I have no problem. I mean, even as big as I am.
Maybe they're scared of you.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I'm a bear. Not in that way. But,
why did you look at Jeff when you said that?
Well, don't you think that the check-in, whatever, it must have flagged? You know, because he had purchased two tickets before and then moved just down to one, you know, maybe she flagged somehow because thinking that that's what he should have done is bought two tickets.
Right, but then how do you let him get on the plane and embarrass him?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the woman who let him get on the plane in the first place, instead of being direct about it, she kind of was coy about it. She should have, you know, instead of hinting towards it, should have either said something. But, you know, if this is Southwest's policy, and apparently what... I don't know if this is right, but the captain had said that he was a safety risk.
It turns out that's not true.
It turns out...
So that's the thing that's interesting. So if you listen to this, then he talked about how he finally got to speak to somebody at Southwest, and the woman said, first of all, you were not treated well. Second of all, the captain did not see you. Right. What the captain said was, we got to push away from the gate. Just make this happen. Like, get this fucking shit taken care of. I don't care what's going on out there. Just, like, get this taken care of. And so the captain never got involved in this. He just said, I want to pull away. Close the doors. And so it was the desk agent, right, and somebody else who basically made this decision on the fly, but they blamed it on the captain. They said, well, the captain said, right? So they didn't take personal
responsibility. Right, that's the easiest way to do it, because nobody's going to argue with that.
Right, exactly.
What the captain says goes.
Right, and his position was, listen, you know, after 9/11, what am I going to do? I'm going to get taken off by air marshals? I mean, that's a terrifying kind of thing to do.
And Sully Sullenberger never would have treated them this way.
No, I don't think so. And so you realize, I mean, I don't know. I feel...
I'm torn both ways, because I think Kevin Smith is definitely and smartly milking this for everything he can, because like you said, you haven't seen his name associated with Cop Out. I don't think most people knew that he directed Cop Out until this story came
along. He hasn't made a big deal about this in his own reporting. I mean, people are talking about it in Cop Out, but, I mean, is this really how you want to get publicity? I mean,
he's addressed that. He said that, no, this isn't how I want to get publicity, but... I mean, the bottom line is he is getting the publicity.
What you seem skeptical?
It's just a cop out.
No.
Come on, you should have had the crickets ready.
That's shit. I'm not saying he's purposely doing this to try to get publicity, but I think that's a byproduct of it.
I have to tell you, I've been watching his stuff and reading his stuff, and my heart breaks for him, because as tough a guy as he is, you know, and clearly he's got a public face and he's well off, and, you know, I mean, he's a multimillionaire and whatever it is, this goes right to the heart. I mean, he keeps protesting, yeah, I'm a fat guy, but this is not... your phone is making... Somebody's phone is near the...
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Listen, this is a program my team is responsible for, and we make people go through testing, and so it's not fucking cool. So, anyhow, but my heart breaks for him. Like, I feel like he's, like, just on the verge of breaking into tears. Like, nobody can be that fucking strong.
Yeah, but then again, why do all this publicly if he would just kind of shut up about it?
I think he was hoping for
it would have gone away.
Well, because I think initially he was hoping for them to say, we made a mistake, you were not too fat to fly. He wanted them to basically vindicate him and say, we fucked up. The problem was not that you were too fat to fly. The problem was that our policies and procedures are so arbitrary that we were able to, you know, that the power was put in the hand of a harried desk agent who just made a determination that since you normally or you frequently buy two seats, therefore you must need two seats. She made a leap of logic. She wouldn't even let you show that you could sit in the seat and meet the requirements. And then she passed it off to the captain. I think he was looking for that. And at least as he explains it in his Smodcast, the woman he spoke to said that she was going to do that on the follow-up blog, because there's a second blog posting from Southwest. And then when he read the second blog posting, between the time that he spoke to her and the time that it went up online, the lawyers got involved.
What?
And all the admissions of guilt and all of the mea culpas right out the fucking window. Somebody like me got involved and sanitized the whole fucking thing.
And that's part of the problem.
And that is part of the problem.
It's your whole profession.
Why is it called the Smodcast?
Because it's Scott Mosier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
his partner in crime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Smith and Mosier. Okay. So it's Smith and Mosier podcast. Okay. Yeah,
you know, they got that thing by the gate, like, your bag must fit in this square.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it because I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith, but they could solve it if they had something similar like that for people. Like,
I see.
You know, right next to your bag must fit in this box.
They should have
box.
A seat and a seat belt.
Yeah, if you
right
can
there.
Wedge in that space,
if you can
keep going.
Or maybe like a tub with, and you see how much water you deplace. This place, right?
But, how many people do you see that get on the plane that clearly have bags that would not fit in there?
Most of them.
Most of them.
Thank you.
So your point is?
My point is it wouldn't matter.
I see.
People don't follow rules.
So what
but
would
have been? They'd be stuck in that chair.
Well, I'm kind of torn when it comes to this, because I do like Kevin Smith, but
love
I also
Kevin
do
Smith.
Like Southwest. As far as the airlines go, they've been a pretty good company. I've flown them a lot, coming back and forth from the Bay Area. They're always usually nice. They're accommodating. They're usually on time. If they bump you, they'll pay for it or give you some kind of accommodation. I mean, as far as companies go, they're usually they're a decently run company. So, you know, maybe they made a mistake here, but, you know, I'm not going to throw them under the bus.
The problem is they got a monopoly on a lot of the routes. I mean, you can't compare to JetBlue if they're going to the same place. Okay.
All right.
Anybody else?
I mean, JetBlue is priced just as well, and it's a far superior airline. I mean, it's like...
I don't want Southwest to hear the podcast and strip my A-list status, so I'm just shutting the hell up here.
You're fine.
What do you get for A-list status?
You get a drink coupon and you get like A1 through 15.
Yeah, you get the Kevin Smith thing without having to pay any extra for that. Do you not pay extra for your Kevin Smith treatment?
No, I mean, you do Business Select for a while, and then once you're A-list, even if you don't do Business Select, you get to sneak in.
Really? First 15 rows and the free drink.
If there's 15 Business Select people, and now I'm stumping for the company, then you're A-16, which you have to deal with. But
that sucks.
It does suck, because no one wants to be 16 again.
No. All right. I guess I was wrong. I guess Southwest is in the right, and I just need to lose some weight. All right, there you go. We've solved that. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Jason? We lost them.
I know, I'm still here. It's just I can barely hear over the angry techno music.
You're not missing anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you've complained in the past that the background music is too loud. Now it's too soft.
It's usually when we play the pieces, I can't hear the pieces, but then the music, for whatever reason, it doesn't fade, or you know, I hear it at full volume.
Is it full volume now?
No, not now. It's fine. Now it's good.
Okay. Because really, the most important thing is your comfort, because I know you're a big fan of this show.
Robin Goldstein.
All right, now I've lost one of my channels here.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, did we all lose one of
them? We all lost
the
it.
Left.
All right. Hello? Hello? We all lost a channel. Hello? Hello?
Now I just screwed everything up. I'm sorry.
You did screw everything up.
I screwed up with my Southwest explanation.
Now there's nothing.
We've all lost a channel here. All right, something happened here in the... Wait.
It's scratchy.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't touch my iPhone.
All right, it's good. There we go. All right. You got anything else you want to talk about, or are you want to hang around? Did you have some...
I got to go. I got to go to bed.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Dorme bien.
What?
Dorme
Very
bien.
Nice, Robin.
Wow. Is that wrong?
That's right.
Okay, dorme bien. That's French.
Oh. Wow.
Parlez-vous français?
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you. Voulez-vous que bear?
Couché avec un bear?
No.
All right,
yeah,
my friend.
Me neither.
What's happening in the world? Well, just before we let you go, what's happening in the world of awards this week, next week? What comes up next?
We're on hiatus. We're waiting for the big Oscar, the Independent Spirit Awards, March 5th, and the Oscars, March 7th. Between now and then, I think there's going to be a couple of the smaller ones. The Writers Guild Awards, I think, are coming up.
All right.
And some of the maybe.
Do you know when the BAFTAs
Guild?
Are offhand?
The BAFTAs?
Yeah.
I think they're coming up relatively soon, if not maybe this weekend.
All right. So the answer
but I'm
is
not sure.
The answer is technically no.
In broadcasting, you can't just say no. You have to answer it with some kind of authority.
I see. Okay. Well, how did you feel about your performance on the show today?
I felt wonderful. I felt wonderful.
Let's listen back to it next week.
Oh, and I can't wait for next week's show, because hopefully we're all talking about whatever Tiger Woods says Friday at his first press conference.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So excited for that.
Did you see this coming?
I knew if he was going to play golf. I didn't know he was going to want to play golf again this soon. This is the first step to him playing golf again. So I knew he was going to have to do something like this, but I didn't know it was going to be in this kind of style. So I'm very intrigued. This is fascinating for a guy who's normally very, very private.
He's going to do this. When is it? It's Friday at what? Like
11, Friday 11. At 8 o'clock Western, 11 o'clock Eastern.
Except NBC is going to be carrying it at 10:55 at night. That's a little Olympics joke for those of us who are pissed that there's still... Can you fucking believe that there's still fucking time delaying the Olympics on the West Coast?
It's crazy. We get screwed every year. This happens, I mean, for everything.
It's
Olympics,
well, they're not going to do it for the Oscars this year. They didn't do it for the Emmys. I don't think they're going to do it for the Oscars. I think they're doing them live. Right?
Doing it live.
And they did the Emmys live, too, right? They did the Golden Globes live?
They did the Golden Globes live, yeah.
And fucking Dick Ebersol, old geezer, weezer... Freak said, like in 2008, he goes, well, you know, 80% of the population's on the East Coast and people want to see it. I was like, have you heard about a fucking DVR? Like, let people do their own fucking programming, right? Show it live so the people who want to see it in the afternoon can see it live. And then if you want to see it at 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, you can fucking watch it whenever you want on the DVR. But, of course, no, the networks don't want
but
that.
With all
and that's why NBC is number one. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say, with all due respect, because Parviz is in here, that was the argument we had about the Lennon-Conan thing.
The Lennon-Conan
DVR.
Like, why don't people just...
Leno-Conan.
Did I? What
you said
I?
Lennon. Everyone got excited for
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Vladimir Lennon is going to be on the show?
Yeah, sorry, the Russians versus Conan.
I'm thinking Beatles. That's how old I am.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah. That's the. We could have gone that way.
Could have.
It's all,
been
all
nice.
Lennons, actually.
All Lennon all the time.
Yeah.
It seems to be such a perfect example, or the reality is, and again, it's corporate bullshit doublespeak, they don't want you fucking DVRing it, because then you'll fast forward through the commercials.
Well, also, when they show it on the West Coast at 8 o'clock, they get to charge more for the commercials.
Right.
Because it's prime time, rather than being at 5 o'clock. And if it's any indication of what the Oscars are going to do, the Grammys still tape delayed this year, so if there's any precedent there.
Yeah, but the Oscars go out live. They don't go out late. The Oscars always go out live.
The Oscars always go out live?
In the West Coast? Sure they do. Yeah. Yeah. The Grammys
I know, because I have to get over to Robin's house by 3:30 to see the red carpet.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The Oscars go out live, and this year, for the first time, the Golden Globes went out live. And as you said, the Grammys don't, and I think the Emmys have not. But, I mean, it's the right thing to do. It's insane. Fucking NBC. Don't get me fucking started. You gotta go. You go to bed.
Yeah.
You go to bed.
Have a nice sleep.
You go to bed. All right, my friend. Hey, listen, thank you very much. We'll check in with you again next week, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, take care.
See
you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Jason.
All right, another break. You guys can all hang around for a little bit longer, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
We got more stuff to talk about. All right. I don't have any more production audio. We played the Parviz bit at the beginning of the show. We played the Dick Cheney bit, and we got that little
love that.
Our names with the auto tune. just so that you know, I recorded the John DeCoven, Sherry Stevens. I recorded that on my iPhone, so that was the microphone that I used because I don't have a mic plugged into that Mac yet. I've got one coming, but I don't have a mic plugged into that Mac. And so I recorded it on my iPhone, and then I used the app to transfer it over Wi-Fi to that computer. And so that's where the bass audio came from. So
nice.
Very nice.
Very
it makes
nice.
You... It kind of... You know, I've been sitting around for the last week. I've got the Logic Studio, Logic Pro, which is the Mac software for doing audio, because your Pookie had it. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I figured, well, maybe I should learn how to use this a little bit. That's Sherry's daughter.
Okay.
And so I got a copy of it, and I realized that... I mean, I'm not a great singer. I'm fairly musical, but I can't necessarily hold a pitch, but with fucking autotune,
it
doesn't make any difference. I mean, as long as I know what key the thing is, like, I'm fine. I mean, and especially if you add any kind of, you know, effects behind my voice and any kind of, you know, doubling and stuff like that, I'm no Britney Spears, but, you know.
Well, just ask Taylor Swift.
I mean, no shit.
You know?
No shit. It's all highly produced kind of stuff. So what does that mean? That the only true music is like opera music? Both opera music. Or otherwise known as opera.
Yeah, play that funky opera music for
otherwise
me
otherwise known
again.
As opera. I mean, am I wrong about this? Is this just sort of a phase? I mean, what kind of tunes do you listen to?
I listen to everything, but if you start looking at like the garage bands and the rock bands and Guitar Hero and all that kind of stuff, like it's just grooming a whole thing of do what you can, let the equipment take the rest mm-hmm. of it. And I think a lot of people are getting out there. I mean, there's people doing their own radio shows with no background. And
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I think it was a dig, but I'm not smart enough to know.
My mic just went off. But yeah, no, yeah. I think unfortunately, like the, you know, I'm actually waiting for, and I'm not trying to be funny here, obviously I haven't done that all day, but.
We'll decide.
Yeah, exactly, right? But I'm actually waiting for people to like kind of get frustrated with classically strung guitars and just want to continue to play like in a paddle press chord hold because eventually, like, this is how I know how to play music. And
right.
I think it's just going to get, like, yeah, as John was trying to say, you're going to get a lot of Taylor Swifts and a lot of, you know, just let the machines do the work and. That'll be it. I think there'll be live performances and there'll be, you know, studio pop bubblegum stuff and that's about it.
I mean the real musician I mean, you know, the real acts are like the bar bands. I mean, those are actually real musicians.
Yeah, I think it goes...
They have
to
carry their own axes and book their own gigs, and that's all they can do.
Yeah, I think if you like music, you'll start getting into local scenes again, which is sort of cool. And
yeah.
Then, yeah, I mean, but you know what? And then, I mean, you know, they're fantastic. I mean, even the Super Bowl, I mean, the Who struggled with, you know... everything was filled in and pumped in, and you know, there was no keyboardist on the stage, and you know, it was just kind of weird watching Daltrey and Townsend look at each other when the big power chords are being played. I'm like, the kids are going to figure out there's no one making the noise. So I guess that's why they're called the Who, because it's like, who's playing this? You know?
Who dat?
Yeah, exactly. But, who dat? But anyway, yeah, so we'll see. But you sound great, and the piece you did was really quality.
Oh, well, that was just fun to do the production, that's all. I mean, I don't care about that. For me, it was entertaining to see what I could do in, like, you know, 20 minutes of production. So, all right, let's take a break. We'll be back on this side. We'll play Little Lily Allen. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. We're all here. We're all inviting you to stick around. So stick around. There you go.
Gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
When she was 22, the future looked bright. But she's nearly 30 now, and she's out every night. I see that look in her face. She's got that look in her.
Feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Bristol!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
We're back. It's 24 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, your host, buddy, and pal. Straight white Buddhist, vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We're over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic. We've got a phone number. 408-335-4755, 408-335-4755. During the week, you can leave us voicemail messages on that number. During the live show, which we record every Wednesday, somewhere between 3 and 6 or 7 or whatever it is, check the tweet. That number will drop you directly into the studio and you can talk to us. We stream the program live now, so if you actually want to listen to the behind-the-scenes stuff, you can do that. And we're trying a little experiment. We've got a Ustream stream going on here live, and it claims that we got 4 viewers. I don't know who they are, but if you are watching this, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I turned the mics off because you guys were not actually back in the studio. Sorry about that.
Does your computer in the living room count as one?
Well, yes, technically.
Okay, so it's 3.
And your computer? No. Rob's got four computers.
Well, so and this is one, too. So that's 2. So I got 2. So there's 2 of them. What is this?
Can you just write down the phone number for me?
The phone number?
Yeah, the 408.
Sure. I could actually read it out loud.
Okay, sure.
I could say it's 408. It would actually be easier than me writing because then everybody would hear
okay.
it. I could share it with the entire
all
class.
Right.
408-335-4755.
Okay.
Here, could you write that down?
That spells out, yeah. That was very nice. You watching the Olympics?
I am. I'm watching
not
the
really.
Olympics. Anybody? Not a lot of it.
Anybody?
Not really.
Anybody? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch a little at night, you know. Well, I guess that's the only time
so why
it's
are
on.
You not watching the Olympics?
I don't know. I'm catching a little bit on SportsCenter. But I think, you know, a bunch of years ago, the Olympics were your, like, connection to the world. Like, this was every 4 years you got to see what the rest of the planet was up to. And, mm-hmm. you know, now you kind of, it's all you're surrounded with. You know exactly what's going on. You've got internet, you got connections to friends and all that kind of stuff. I don't need to wait to kind of connect with the world. And I think that's the big miss.
Huh. And the sport part of it is not...
It's getting so fragmented. It's like, you know, they're all, you know, detailed kind of...
They got some cool sports, though.
It's
weird.
The
snowboarding one now where they're on that track.
They got the one-way luge, single trip.
Yeah.
Oh, so, about...
what was that? Was that a joke?
Yeah,
it's not a joke. There's no jokes today in that. But yeah, no, it's, you know, Apollo the skater, what's his name? It, like, if you're in the
Apollo
right...
Apollo Ohno.
Yeah, if you're in the right discipline, you get, like, a chance for so many medals. And if you're fast, you get, like, 4 chances to prove it. If you can skate fast, you get 9. You know, it's just... I think there's too many...
Too many events.
That's the word I'm looking for.
I like the curling. You check out the curling.
Yeah,
you know what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
it's like a Jewish shuffleboard for Canadians.
Yeah, bowling with Canadians.
But no,
I just like watching men try to sweep. It's just kind of funny to watch. They look confused. They need a coach.
He just stepped on my joke.
I didn't see it.
Fucker.
It's like Parviz.
Yeah, just like Parviz.
Pick it up off the seat.
The joke was supposed to go. It's very. The joke's supposed to go.
We'll start over. We'll do it again.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The joke's supposed to go.
Curling.
It's
start
interesting. No, curling. It's interesting because women are much better, and I think I figured it out. It's because they're better housekeepers.
Okay.
Ah, that's shit.
And that will be retired for another 4 years.
Well, that was your Olympic joke.
Yeah,
that was, I got that in my shit.
Okay,
it says John's
it
Olympic joke.
Okay. Oh, that's the... I'm sorry, because you mentioned that in the kitchen. I didn't know that that was
did.
The one.
I didn't realize that was a setup.
Yeah.
You have to watch this.
I didn't realize that was a setup.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
This is my last show.
I'm sorry, too. We can rewind the whole thing again. All right. So, you know, when I have a challenge... So, I love the speed stuff. And so, the downhill, you know, where they do the downhill slalom... I mean, it's just like you hold your breath for the entire time. But I don't know how you justify, like, I don't know how you, like, you put that together with the skating.
Yeah.
Like, the skating is kind of like ABC's Dancing with the Stars. I just, I know that there's athleticism involved in it, but that doesn't seem like a sport.
No, and the other thing, too, it's that group of people who got exposed to it. Like, I like your point about speed, like... They're fast. They're faster than you'll ever be. They can do something
right.
you can't do.
Yes.
Todd Eldridge grew up in my town growing up. He was the only one that was doing it. So he was the best of the 2 kids that didn't play hockey, and you continue to grow up and become the best of. And he's way better than I'd ever be.
Are you insinuating we can figure skate?
I'm just saying the guys that are out there doing that are the ones that kind of just took an interest a long time ago versus
right.
these hard speed. You know, Usain Bolt is faster than anybody.
Right.
go look wherever you want to. As you get into these specialized, like figure skating or whatever it might be, you have to have been kind of exposed to it.
Right. We don't know who the fastest person is. We don't know the fastest. We don't know who the best skater is.
You don't know if that's, is that the best there is, or is that just the best of the group that had the money to do it growing up the whole time.
Gotcha. Right.
Like the biathlon, like the skate and shoot, and you know, it's, I'm not saying these are bad sports, but just, I like the speed, the strength. I like the Greek stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Greek stuff you're thinking about.
Right, right. Because they were big into skiing.
Right, right.
But anyway.
All right, well, staying with sports, Sports Illustrated. You better not fucking look at me because I wrote this down.
I'm not saying anything
until he finishes
well,
what he's saying.
Our top three women skiers.
Thank you.
I think it was a skier, a snowboard, you know, in that realm.
Right.
Basically, were down in their bikinis
with
and
poles.
Sports Illustrated with poles, and not the kind you're thinking of. These were ski poles, and.
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, I mean, I just mentioned it and Robin wrote it down. It's like some people were saying, oh, are they kind of prostituting themselves and this and that? And what their quote was, they're saying, hey, you know, unlike the summer Olympic athletes who get to show off their bodies, we don't. So this is our way of showing how.
So are they on the cover or were they inside the magazine?
Woman on the cover. I forgot her name, but she has her ass up in the air. If you can see it on the camera there. And they were inferring that was.
I mean, people are disappointed. It's just a picture of your hand. You get all
these people. And not even the good hand.
You're like, what's the stream? Like, here's what her ass. And like, it's just John's
hand.
It's
like
hand.
This. Yeah.
And actually, that's what it always ends up being. Never mind. It's just John's hand.
So you did see the cover.
Yeah, but for John, this hand, that's a very important hand.
Yeah, that's a Saturday night special. So, especially in 17 weeks, but anyway.
So that's all there is on that. I mean, I don't think it's any big
Should they
deal.
Not be in these magazines? Because, I mean, Sports Illustrated, obviously, in the summer has a swimsuit issue. And so it does take these turns from kind of sport to spectacle.
Right.
Is that a good thing?
Who the hell reads Sports Illustrated anyways?
Well, for the articles? I think lots of people. I think the internet, like my brother, he
gets everything. I mean, yep. A lot of people just get all their info on internet. So it just seems like they need to do that type of stuff to get more readers.
Yeah, but they're also, you know, they're perennials. I'm not defending it, but, you know, Sports Illustrated, as Robin said, they always do the issue. So it's not
right.
like it's a quick, like, cheap attempt to try to increase circulation. It's
right.
not the Wall Street Journal's swimsuit issue that they're just trying
to
capitalize.
This was a new
which would be scary.
Issue. This wasn't the swimsuit issue.
No, but they're just featuring...
Yeah, the girls of the
I mean,
Olympics.
Now it's like the winter bikini issue, so are they going to do that every year?
It depends on how many copies they sold.
Yeah,
if it worked, it worked.
But I mean, if you look at what's happening with publishing at this point, I mean, you've now recently changed jobs. You're working for the company now that can we say this, right? That designed and makes the Kindle.
Yes.
And you have a Kindle.
I got my first Kindle.
Very good.
Yep.
You got the big one?
No, I have a little one.
Okay.
Not the DX, but the...
I think it's a Kindle 2.
Kindle 2? All right. Electric Boogaloo. All right.
I looked actually on the packaging, and it doesn't say whether it's a Kindle 1 or Kindle 2. But I'm
well, there's something to fix. You already had invalid.
Is that part of your sign-up bonus? Or?
Yeah.
And you've got the iPad, and you've got the Sony Reader, and Barnes & Noble has their own reader. Yeah. And there was an article today about the Times, the New York Times, not Time Magazine. So there is a big discussion and apparently a big fight at the New York Times about how to make their content available for the iPad and, I guess, for the Kindle and these other kind of platforms. The folks in the electronic media department feel as though, yes, they're going to do it by subscription. Right, I mean, going to basically give you a complete subscription to the paper, but it should be for something like, you know, $10 a month or something like
or
that.
Or $10 once. I mean, I would buy a $5 USA Today app, which mm-hmm. brings the USA Today to me every morning. So the six
well,
times.
Well, that's not even on the table.
I'm just saying, though, but like something like, you know, a longer serving one time type subscription.
But what's on the table? What they're fighting about? And I'm not arguing with you. I mean,
I like it.
No, because like you, for example, I tweeted
note
today.
Note to Boyana, they are not fighting. thing.
No, and now we have another viewer here. So there's somebody else who's watching on the
and
the
they're
stream.
Disappointed it's just John's hand.
As are we all.
We're going to lose it.
Not, you know who else is disappointed it's just John's hand? John's hand. So. So like you, I said today, you know, fuck the groundhog. Pitchers and catchers report for spring training today. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, winter's over and it's now time for spring. But the Major League Baseball does a brilliant job. So for the baseball app for the iPhone, they charge you one fee for the entire season. They don't charge you per month or per team.
Great model.
Right? One fee at $9 or $10, whatever the fuck it is, right? And that's it for the entire season. So you don't have to keep coming back every month.
And what does the app do?
The app gives you the ability to listen to the home game or the away game for every baseball game that's being played in audio. It also gives you video clips. It also lets you do the, you know, where you can sort of see the box score or you can see, like, what's happening on the field. So if you're not listening, you can kind of look in real time and see, like, who's on base. Well, I forget what they call that, but that kind of real-time imagery of what's happening. It also gives you news about your teams and all of that kind of stuff. It's a terrific app. It's the best $10 you can spend if you're really into baseball. And it effectively,
or not. It's a great app.
And it turns your phone into an AM radio that can get every Major League Baseball game in the United States. I mean, how the fuck can that be bad?
So, I mean, in that sense, they're almost kind of like simplifying it for you. Because actually, technically, you could almost get every station anyways through other apps and the internet and this and that.
Well, actually, for baseball, you can't. So MLB, Major League Baseball, prevents, like, KNBR, which is the local Giants station, from actually streaming their coverage of the games. They maintain, you know, the no rebroadcast retransmission without the express consent of, you know, Bowie Kuhn or whoever the fuck is there. Yeah. You know, thank you. Thank you for that Bowie Kuhn laugh. He used to be the commissioner of Major League Baseball. But the argument, just to get back to your point, so we're in violent agreement as to that part, but the argument, that's, they're not even talking about that. What they're talking about is, should it be something that they consider to be fairly de minimis, like $10 a month for access, like you would pay for access to a website that you'd go back every month for electronic content, or should it be $40 a month, which is about what you would pay for a print subscription to the newspaper, because what they're feeling is, well, this is going to be not bastardizing. This will be cannibalizing the print media, right? And so, therefore, the print side is like, well, we don't want let you give you know the electronic side have complete access to our copy because we're going to lose those people as subscribers. It's like you're losing them as subscribers anyway.
That's the big point.
And that's the problem with this.
Yeah, and if you think about it, you know, like when I travel, I spend the same $20 every flight to get the four magazines and the one copy of USA Today that I leave whatever hotel I left. And, you know, we form relationships with books, and I think we want books kind of, we want to own them and keep them. But all the periodical stuff, I do think they'll figure out, you know what, this would be a great digital delivery. You can go back to subscribe. You can go back to delivering. You know, New York Times shows up at 6 a.m. every morning on your device. And I think they'll try those heavy $40 a month. Well, this is the value of what we're putting out. But then I think when they see ad revenue and they see eyeballs and the people they're speaking to, they'll realize it's going to be a $10 something. And I think they'll all go down to you buy the app like MLB. I think they figured it out. You know, and John's point I like a lot, and not to get into off topic, but
Don't you understand how this show works?
But
have you listened to this show? Oh, wait, sorry.
But yeah, but John's point, like, I think the beauty of the app, and I think what really is going to create kind of like publishing 2.0 with the advent of the Kindles and the iPads and all this stuff is, the information's out there and you got to go retrieve it, but it's going to get really easy just to have it presented to you. And it's like, you know what? I'll start flipping through car magazines again because, you know what? The form factor and just flipping the page. We talked about this in a meeting when we were supposed to be working. I'd subscribed to Mad Magazine again.
Right.
You could do the Mad fold-in without having to fuck up the back page. All the stuff that you could collect, everyone's excited about comic books if you start, you know, looking on the internet for what people are going to start doing. So I really think all of a sudden that the digital media is going to be great for the stuff that we consume and leave.
Right.
And let's stop trying to convince people that, you know, their relationship with books can be replaced by a reader, no offense. But I think once we get into the, you know, like the New York Times, I think I'd subscribe to the Boston Globe again on Sundays.
Right.
And for everyone that's worried about, hey, we're losing our print media, it's like, well, you know what, there's there's 10 of me that are now back on the radar for Sunday Boston Globe.
Right.
That living in California, there was no chance I'd ever do that. So.
Right, right. Because right. you want to see all of it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you really do want to see all of it. And so the electronic edition can give you the ads and all that. I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean,
yeah, you can, local ads, like my Sunday Boston right. Globe, I get in California and it's all California regional ads. I mean, Boston can right. sell that stuff twice.
Right.
You get back into extras. And then right. I think what ends up happening is all the TMZ sites, all these sites that did a really good job at we handle late breaking website type mm-hmm. stuff better than you. I think if like Boston Globe or New York Times or LA Times or whatever start pushing out the extras, like, hey, you're already subscribing,
right?
But hey,
which they don't do anymore.
Which
I mean,
they don't
when
do
I was
anymore.
A kid,
extra
so,
edition, you'd run down and get it. And
exactly.
I remember
that's
like a
extra,
week of
extra
doing
read
that. Yeah.
All about it.
When I was
yeah.
a kid,
that's a great app, an extra app.
Right. Growing up in New York, right? The Daily News,
right?
Right? There was a 2-star edition and a 3-star edition and a 4-star edition and like sometimes there was a 5-star edition.
Right.
And that like you would want to get the most stars because that was the later. It's like they published multiple editions. Like
they really
kept
did.
Running new. You know, the press runs happened all the time. And then, as you say, there would be extras, right? I mean,
yeah.
that never. It's the economies don't permit that anymore.
No. And if you subscribe, then I'll stop talking. I promise.
No.
You go
no.
to. If you did New York Times as a subscription, this digital
yep,
subscription,
yep.
and then you could opt in for, you know what, give me the late breaking extras in the entertainment space. And if that's what was telling me that, hey, you know, Jeff Bridges is at this, you know, Oscar dinner and here's a live feed from that, you'd stop going to those other sites that are really cleaning up right now because they're
right.
catching the, you know, here's a picture of Britney 2 seconds after it happened. You actually let the medias that you trust. And this kind of happened with television again. Like once CNN got really good at local stuff, you stopped paying attention at all to your kind of local channel because they just figured out a way to deliver that to you. And I think we see that again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I think
you're,
I think
right
no
on.
don't please. It's not becoming and it's not necessary. I mean, I'm thrilled that you're here and you're offering some interesting insight. And the problem is that the people that are responsible at this point, right, who have kind of Peter Principled themselves to the way of
yeah.
management, are the Dick Ebersols,
right.
who think, no, we're not going to do it that way, right? It's
right.
the same. It's the same reason that the record companies, you know, continue to fight.
That's the best one out there. Like the media is moving towards. You can look at it. You can buy it on demand. And like, no, we don't want to be out there. We want to go back to the old-fashioned,
right.
broadcast it, and charge the hell out of the equipment manufacturers.
Right.
Crazy.
And it will happen with or without them. I think you're absolutely right. It's interesting. I do read TMZ. I mean, that's one of my bookmark sites.
Sure.
And also Perez Hilton is one of my bookmark sites. But LA Times is doing a much better job of that.
Right.
And they're not updating their website, you know, 5 times a day.
But if they did...
They're updating it like every
right.
10 minutes.
But use Kevin Smith. If LA Times had an ability to push out to you, Kevin Smith just got bumped off a plane, and then you went into that little piece,
right.
you'd stop going to those other...
Absolutely.
And that's the piece I hope New York Times figures out. And that's why it's worth doing $10 and not $40. And Major League Baseball has that figured out. Just, it's a lot...
Absolutely. And we would be able to clean up my bathroom. I mean, I have a stack of magazines in there.
Right. Those aren't baseball magazines.
No, they aren't. They're computer magazines. I'm a nerd. But, I mean, there's no reason to have a stack of magazines in there. First of all, I only read them in there when
I've
had
Mexican food.
Which
brings me back to the biggest point of all. I bet you subscriptions to things like Playboy and all that kind of stuff skyrocket again once it's digitally delivered because it's not sitting in a bag.
You said digital.
Digital. It's not on a coffee table, and there's a lot of people out there like,
right.
you know what? I am a Playboy subscriber now that no one has to know that's what I'm looking at. And
right.
I mean, there'll be ways to tell that's what they're looking at. But other than that, you know, I think
like
it'll...
Like the naked girls?
Or just the position of their iPad. The ones that come with their own stand. So, anyway.
Exactly. You know what I want to say real quick? It's a little off topic, Jeff, but no.
Thanks for picking on me.
No, it is actually, but it reminded me about this whole digital media thing, and you guys can tell me in your neighborhoods, but where I'm at in the last year, 2 Blockbusters and Hollywood Video have shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the whole way things are being delivered.
Absolutely.
Now.
And then the weird thing on that is you go to gas stations and there's all these dollar overnight DVD
right,
kiosks.
Right.
I'm like, what, does no one get this? Like, I just like to see the last guy holding that business plan.
Well, no, I think that's what. But I think that's what's hurting Blockbuster.
Yeah.
That's what's hurting Blockbuster is all the supermarkets have the dollar DVD, so people don't go to Blockbuster.
Right. Yeah.
They got the dollar DVD, or they got the Netflix, or
Hollywood Video. There were two in this neighborhood. There was one down the street, and there was one. I'm pointing like you can see me on the fucking radio. There was one down the street, and there was one the other way.
Right.
And one of the two closed. And the other one, Hollywood Video, used to be open till midnight every night, 365 days a year. Please, they close at 10 o'clock now. Yeah. They're only open till midnight on the weekends. And the other night, I decided that, I don't know why, but I wanted to see the movie Walk, Don't Run, which is this Cary Grant film from 1966.
Uh-huh.
And do you remember that title?
I do.
If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing again. It's a lovely... So it's a remake of an older story, and it's basically Cary Grant is a British businessman, and he goes to Japan for business, but he winds up there during the 1966 Olympics. That's why I must have seen it. I must have seen some reference to this. And so he can't find a place to stay. So it's kind of a romantic comedy. So he winds up staying with a young woman who's there. He's an older fellow. There's also a young guy. And so the three of them wind up living together in her apartment in Tokyo. But you get this real... It was shot in Tokyo. So you get this picture. You get this wonderful, a panoramic, Technicolor image of Tokyo in 1966, which is really... It's sweet. There's enough funny lines in it that it makes it worthwhile. And what really makes it worthwhile is the chief of police at the police station, because they all wind up going to the police station, is George Takei.
Nice.
Who must be like 25, 26.
Yeah,
25,
yeah.
26 years old. And it's a very young Mr. Sulu. So it's terrific. But I wanted to see this. I went on Netflix, right? Mm. Boom, boom, boom. Threw it in my queue. Boom, boom, boom. It's on my TiVo, which has the Netflix queue in it. I watched the whole thing. It was gorgeous. I was able to stop it, start it again because it was a phone call. And so I thought, I don't need to go over to the Hollywood Video to rent this tonight. Like, it's available to me.
Right.
And I'm paying them this subscription fee to get basically all I want to eat out of this.
Yep.
So I think you're right. I think they need to think about it. And Steve gets it at Apple. I think Steve understands this.
I think, a few people understand
it. Yeah, I think there are a few people that understand this. And the question is whether or not... I know in music he was able to convince the record companies enough to act against what they thought was their best interest.
Yep.
And obviously they've made money hand over fist.
We may... be running long, or you want to do this, but I heard that Amazon blew their something with McGraw-Hill Publishing. Do you know anything about this?
It was Macmillan, I think. Macmillan. Or
that they basically, because Macmillan wanted them to charge more, and Amazon said, well, screw you. I don't even... And that's like their biggest account.
Do you know anything about this?
I just remember reading, this was a couple weeks ago, but remember
it's unofficial.
So it's unofficial. That Macmillan wanted $14.99 for their publications, and Amazon said, no, we need to keep it at the $9.99 price range.
Same thing. We're talking movies, then we're talking movies, TV shows. It's the same bullshit they go through. I mean, every medium goes through the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're not... That genie's not going back in that bottle.
They all act like they still control the distribution, and they forget that. Like, this is what happened with radio. It's like, you know what... The airwaves were distribution, so you get to kind of do what you want, and they still take that same logic. Same thing with the whatever the name of the
Macmillan.
Yeah, exactly.
And wife,
you read real well.
Yeah.
And but they just assume, we control the commodity, and then it's like, well, the ship's sailing with or without you, and if you don't buy a ticket, you're on the island, and no one's getting your stuff. So it'll be interesting.
It'll be very interesting because the writers are still writing. And the recording artists are still recording. And the producers are still... the people who are actually creating the content are still creating the content.
Yeah, going back to your local point about musician, now you don't have to go to a publishing house in theory. You could just write the book. And maybe you only get a buck for your book, but that's all you were getting when it was $29.99 anyway. So all of a sudden the artists are like, you know what? I can just start putting my stuff out there again, and the cream rises to the top. And I think it's going to be a very interesting time.
Steve Golson contacted me this week, and he said, well, like, how can I get my ringtones on iTunes?
Right.
And so I did a quick Google for him, because I said, I don't really know, but I'll just do a quick Google for him. And it's like, you need to have a certain packaging, with a UPC code and stuff like that. But there are little companies that will do this for independence. So if we wanted to create ringtones or music or whatever it is, you sign a little contract, and, it's not a record company deal kind of thing. And boom, And if you and son of a bitch, if you go on iTunes, you find random stuff. I mean, last show we did, you know, was show number 75, and Parvi's like, "Well, how did you find all of these songs with the number 75 in them?" It's like, because I was not limited to songs from Arister, A&M, right? I mean, I was able to pretty much get anybody's music, and so somebody's got a song with the number 75 or the name 75 in it.
Right, right.
That's how you do it.
By the way, according to Ron Owens, ringtones have jumped the shark.
Oh, okay.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
And we're glad you did. All right. We'll take our final break, come back, talk a little bit more stuff. We got some Lost things going on here. We got some Family Guy stuff here.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten a TV yet.
Yeah. What else? Did you want to get some Super Bowl commercials that sparked your interest? We can get around to those.
Sure.
Very good. All right, we feel like we're lower energy here. We need to pump it up. So it isn't you.
No,
you're doing good.
Not at all.
All right, we'll take a final break. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Jeff Moranis, and John DeCoven, all inviting you to please stick around. We're back to four viewers in the Ustream live broadcast. Maybe we should be interacting with them or something like that. Okay. There you go.
Just get right. their names and call them out.
But wait.
Wait a minute.
I didn't need to see that.
I didn't do anything.
You are such a bear, John.
I haven't even done anything yet.
You did enough.
But I took my shirt out of my pants.
No means no. They're not into it.
Actually,
stop it.
No means God, no.
No means my eyes. My eyes.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're just fucking with you. Oh, God. Okay, we'll be back on the other side. Stick around. There you go. He pumped up the volume.
Well done.
Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Painted faces fill the places I can't reach. You know that I could use somebody. You know that I could use somebody. Someone like you and all you know. You know that I could use somebody. You know that I could use.
100% uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Live.
All right, trying to pump up the volume here. I know that that was a down. That was a Laura Jansen song. It's a pretty song, but lower energy than we want. Welcome back. We're about 55 minutes. We're going to the last segment here, Schnauzer Logic. Now, show number 76. I want to thank you guys for your lovely comments for our 75th anniversary fourth anniversary show. Also want to thank the folks who had made donations. I'm not going to call their names out, but we got some more donations from people, and we really want to thank them for that.
That was nice.
It was very, very nice, yes. And if you go to the website, there's a button for donations. There's a button to, we now have a Google button so that you can actually, you don't even have to call that number, that 408-335-4755. There's a Google widget. If you go to the Schnauzer Logic webpage, it's a callback. It will call you. So wherever you are in the U.S., it will automatically call you and make the connection. So it's free.
Beautiful.
Isn't that nice? It's very, very cool. So we got that going on. All right, so Hunter S. Thompson, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So this is random detritus. This is, somebody came up with this. So Hunter S. Thompson, you're familiar with Fear and Loathing, Dr. Gonzo. There's always sort of a question about whether or not Hunter was as much of a character as he appeared to be in his books, how much of it was an act, how much of it was real. Apparently, he had a home theater system installed at his Woody Creek, Woody Owl ranch up in Colorado. And he was not happy with the installation. I guess the VCR was not up to his standards. And so he called the home theater company that did the install for him. And I guess the person that got this tape, because it was a tape, it was not a voicemail, they kept it. And after all of these years, it's making the rounds. It's up on YouTube. I grabbed the audio. It's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And, I'll let it speak for itself. This is the late, great Dr. Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, hi. Audio, video? Good. I hope it is. This is Hunter Thompson in Woody Creek. You people came up and installed a new DVD, a combination tape player. I don't know what the hell brand it is. What, you see the freaking brand? Well, whatever. No, what really the problem is that when JVC, when it was installed, first machine is no good. It sucks. So I want to get rid of it. I want machine won't run the jams. But second, I want somebody up here tomorrow to unscramble the goddamn maze they made out of my sound system and my video system. All these goddamn wires coming and going that I can't get any goddamn thing on anything else. Any other machine. Some asshole came in and scrambled all my wiring. Put it in the back. A new TV set I got from you. A goddamn JVC thing. What kind of fools you send out on errands? And I need somebody up here tomorrow, Saturday. And I want this goddamn thing repaired, fixed up. And I want my original system back working the way it did. I don't give a fuck for this horrible, cheap little machine you put in here. This tin can JVC thing. I'll get rid of it. But I want my machine working. I want my other video cameras working. I want audio. I want everything in there working. And I know I have the names of some people on some signed the repair order. I won't get on you the minute you get up. I'll be on your ass all day long unless you call me at this number and get somebody up here tomorrow. It's 94... Oh, God, let's see. Yeah, 970 area code. And it's Hunter Thompson. Hunter S. Thompson, and I live in Woody Creek, Colorado. And you people have caused me enough trouble. I'm going to... Remember what I'm going to do. The question is what you're going to do. If I set it and fix it by tomorrow, if my system isn't rewired, nothing. If your setup is still here tomorrow night, I'm going to destroy it and write about it. Yeah, I write a column, several. I write about a lot of things. You might have read my name somewhere. I write books. I write things that get out and people read. I'll ruin your fucking name. You goddamn idiot. You fuck up my system. Yeah, you wait. You can think what I'm going to do. Go to any bookstore, any magazine rack, and look. You can see what the fuck I can do to you. And I will! You bastards, you fuck up my system like this. And then, God damn it, fuck
great.
You.
I need
get
a
up
copy
here.
Of this.
Fuck you, get
fuck
up
you,
here.
Get up here. doctor. Poor doctor.
Remember the Bookman episode of Seinfeld?
He sounds like
he sounds like that guy, and he was the main doctor on Scrubs. That same
was he the guy?
Oh yeah,
yeah. With the Bookman, and I'll tell you another thing, Mr. Seinfeld.
That was different. No, that was not. No, the doctor on Scrubs, the main doctor on Scrubs, was not Bookman.
Yeah,
he was in right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It was Hunter Thompson.
This is how our meetings go.
Who was the guy speaking of Seinfeld when they found out that George's girlfriend's dad was gay? Who was that author? Was that
what?
Do you remember George's girlfriend, the one he was going to get married to?
Right,
the dad
NBC
had a cabin.
Producer chick.
No, the dad had a cabin.
Yep.
And they ended up finding
the letters.
And
Kramer burnt it down with the cigars.
Who was that author? Like, it was a famous author. It wasn't him.
I don't know.
Okay.
It could have been J.D. Salinger, I suppose.
No.
You ever seen the Winnebago Man on YouTube? That clip.
Oh, yes.
That poor guy trying to sell the Mini Winnie. It's a vintage, like, 84 marketing promotional franchisee of the Winnebago, and it's all the outtakes, and it sounds a lot like...
We went looking for cars this weekend.
We did. Yeah.
For
there's your homework assignment, is to go look up the Winnebago.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
Boyana, we want the Winnebago commercial here. So, I mean, it was fun spending time with you looking at cars. I've decided that for most salesmen, their only sales technique is to say, this is really a good car, again and again and again.
This is really clean.
Just a Winnebago,
this
man.
This is really clean. I mean, I should just, I guess if I just say, I'm really good looking, I'm very attractive, I should just walk around saying that all the time, and then...
And you'll be sold.
Well,
I guess
somebody will come and buy you.
That's what they say.
Is that true?
No.
You just keep saying...
keep saying it.
Isn't that the secret?
Yes, the secret.
Oh, you mean Oprah's secret?
Yeah, right.
You know what my favorite part about that whole
Oprah didn't fucking know that Drew Brees had a birthmark on his face, and she tried to wipe it off.
And that's the modified birthmark. Like, I think he's taken a decent shot at hacking it off.
Is that right?
Because now it's like a pink scar.
He has that birthmark on, was on his left cheek or
it's
right
be
cheek
on
whatever
his,
yeah
right cheek
and he went on Oprah and Oprah fucking thought that she had left lipstick on his face and she tried to wipe it off.
And Ellen DeGeneres retired his number, so two completely different experiences on the show.
Yes, exactly. One who understands the sport and one who's not gay. So I'm sorry, you were saying something? Okay.
Well, no. I want to get into this not today, but next week.
Okay.
Next week, but that thing with Hunter Thompson though reminds me, because I had a terrible experience with Tony and Tina's wedding. It's a play they do in San Francisco.
They do it everywhere, actually.
Yeah. But it's kind of like franchise, but they do it in San Francisco, but. It was almost kind of like that. Not as bad, of course, but how he was saying, I'm going to write about it, you know, I'm in magazines, I'm here. What companies don't realize nowadays is that now everybody has that power.
Well, Southwest realizes it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Twitter. I mean, now when you have a problem with the company, you can write about it.
So what was the incident?
Well, I think maybe next week I'll talk about it because it might be a little more involved.
All right.
You know, I don't want to.
Is there a possibility that it may get resolved before next week?
No. And then hell,
it's not going to get resolved.
Not resolved.
So this will be an evergreen.
What I did want to say, though, it's, again, totally off topic. So, Jeff, you're fine. I saw... Here's what I love about The Soup is it'll show me shows that I have no idea existed. And here is a great one. It is so bad that I had to watch it, and it's called Seducing Cindy Margolis.
Fantastic.
No idea.
Do you know who Cindy Margolis is?
Was she like the most downloaded,
woman? So now she's like 44.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's
plus
like,
or minus.
It's like one of these dating shows. You know, there's like 25 guys, and But the clip he showed as one of the elimination rounds had something to do with jerking off in a cup.
Why are you looking at me?
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you.
I think mostly out of respect.
Yeah.
And that's John's hand going like...
Can no one else get it in the cup? Am I the only person that has this skill? It just saves on cleanup. I will. I'll raise you the seducing Cindy Margolis Celebrity Fit Club 2010 season. We got Bobby Brown. We got K-Fed. It's fantastic. We got Sebastian Bach from Skid Row.
Oh wow!
So they're having a.
And then isn't K-Fed's like girlfriend or something?
Oh, she's on there. It's so train wreck. And then so Bobby Browning, old friend of mine, he's totally freaking out right now. Bobby Brown is talking about how he's been sober for 3 years while he's drinking a beer. It just goes to an outtake to Sebastian, who's just like, I didn't know that beer doesn't count because then I'm doing much. I mean, it's a really clever show, and they hose him down with, and I'm not going to make the cultural reference there, but one of the events is you have to get past a fire hose. So watching them hose Bobby Brown and his losing his pants, and it goes back to the Whitney when she calls out for the kiss my ass. Well, we saw it on FlitCo. Anyway, there's lots of quality TV on right now.
Well, no, because
that's one that I've missed.
It's watchable.
I got to add to my 40 hours a week,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're up to 42.
I guess I'm up to 40. Well, those are half. Oh, those are hour shows. Those
probably hour. Fit Club's an hour.
Oh,
and
very
the best
nice.
Part about Fit Club is the rotisserie update that they do. It's the celebrity moving around, kind of like, you know, with their old weight, new weight, and it's just funny watching, like, you know, K-Fed kind of just.
Why do people allow themselves to be humiliated?
I mean, Nicole Eggert's on it from Baywatch. She's got to be twice the size she used to be. It's just kind of, you know.
We all struggle with this.
Not all of us.
I'm heavier than two of the people on the show.
No.
Yeah. Actually,
no, it's always crazy when they look like K-Fed. He's 230 pounds and he's 6'1". I'm like, fuck, that's nothing. You know, like, so anyway.
I know. How many movies have you directed?
That I'll admit to? Not too many.
There you go. So. All right.
I had Get It in a Cup, but no one saw it.
One Jeff, one cup.
Not so steady cam.
Oh, God.
That's it. We lost her.
I think I made a joke. I'm
the original
not even sure.
Inspiration for the Blair Witch
there
camera style.
All right. And scene. All right. Listen, thank you all. First of all, obviously, thanks to Jason Nathanson for being our correspondent down in Southern California. Let's say thanks to Jeff Moranis for coming in today. I really appreciate your sitting in. Hope you'll do it again.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Sherry Stevens, thanks for coming on over.
Sorry I was late.
That's all right. Not a problem. And Johnny, thank you very much for coming down. Bunjo's on the web.
Bunjo'sComedy.com.
And you may get a guest for us next week.
Yes. No, yeah? Rich Voss.
Rich Voss.
Yes.
There you go. Well-known stand-up comedian Rich Voss. That's outstanding. So,
I will confirm with him Tuesday.
All right. It's great.
But do some prep.
Thank you very much. I will definitely do some prep. And thank you all for listening. I love you, Mama. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. Tell your friends about the show. Download it from the web. And leave us messages on the voicemail during the week. Have a great week.
Put in some reviews.
Take care. All right. We love you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.